Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are not waiting around.
No, we are not.
Batting leadoff in the top of the first inning. Padre manager Andy Green sits down with us and kicks off our program. Mr. Green, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for lunch, first of all. That was very nice of you to invite us by the manager's luncheon this afternoon. I know that... You picked up the tab. It was very kind of you. Chicken was delicious. Thank you.
Picked up the tab and passed it right on to MLB. That's why I do it just about everything.
Very smart of you. Very
in
smart.
One sense, my fine money probably paid for it. So
yeah,
I
there
guess
you go.
I paid for it.
There you go. That's where I was going to wonder what they do with that fine money. So that might be what it is.
Andy, let's get right into it. I think Will Myers has been a topic of conversation really all offseason. Have you had any conversations with him in regards to where he will be playing next year? Last year, we ended the season. He was at third base. I know you got a glut in the outfielders. Where does that fit?
Yeah, with Will, I think right before I came here to Vegas for the winter meetings, reached out for him with a text, said let's catch up on the other side of the winter meetings, hope to have a greater measure of clarity as to how our roster is going to be constructed. I know in Will's case, for me, we went into last season, and before he had ever thought about playing third base, he came to me and was like, I'll play third base, and wanted to do that, wanted that type of challenge. And when we signed Eric Hosmer, he was ready to move off of first base to go the outfield. He's been great in that regard, and I think a lot gets made publicly of Will's willingness to do different things. He's been willing. He's been a great advocate for whoever comes in to make us a better ball club, and I think we've been very grateful from that as a coaching staff and as an organization. I think as we get into this coming season, we'll have greater clarity here shortly on the roster, and then it becomes easier to have those types of conversations. But you're versatile guys. Like, sometimes it takes a while to be able to clearly identify what the role is going to look like. And I think at third base, yeah, there's work still to do, but there was also a lot of encouraging things there last year that we were excited about as an organization. And what it did for us was even beyond that. We got to watch Franmil Reyes and Hunter Renfroe play every single day and keep those three bats in the lineup. And we had a very good September doing that. I think if you step back and look at our record, we played in 16 and 13 or 16 and 12 over the last 28 games, and that was with that type of alignment defensively, and it gets good bats on the field, and we've had the biggest trouble getting on base, right. And we got to find a way to get our bats on the field, and Will at third base gave us that opportunity to do that.
Andy, when you look into this offseason, what kinds of things did you put at the top of your list as a manager in terms of not just ability and not just talent and not just guys playing certain positions, but just things that you think this organization still needs to do to improve going forward?
Yeah, I think as a manager, you're always looking at your coaching staff and at your players. You're not so concerned with the 30,000-foot view of what are we going to do from an acquisition perspective. You're looking at how do we get better on the field. And I think what's been most encouraging to me is every conversation I've had this offseason, whether it's with Austin Hedges or Hunter Renfroe or Eric Hosmer, these guys want something great here in San Diego, and they really want to be challenged right now. And, you know, they're getting their feet under them in the big leagues. Haas obviously has always had that, but you're seeing confidence grow in a young core group of guys that they can do things here. I think that's exciting for us. I think we're going to continue to challenge our guys every single day more than we did in the past. I think we have the coaching staff to do that, and I think that's going to get us better quicker.
Andy, you mentioned something to me at lunch that I thought was very interesting. We talk so much about players during the offseason, you know, working on their craft, getting better as players. What kind of stuff does a manager do to maybe strengthen the leadership part of his skills?
Yeah, I you know, for me, there's always self-reflection at the end of a baseball season where you look yourself in the mirror and say, where did I come up short? What can I do better? And I want to do that whether we win 60 games or 105 games. You always want to be that kind of guy that looks in the mirror and models to your team what it looks like to always be on the quest for improvement, because that's the only way your organization's going to get better is if you model it from this seat. So, you know, I took some opportunities to go study some organizations firsthand, go be with some, you know, one team in particular and learn a lot from them culturally. I've been to leadership leadership conferences with other great leaders in sports, and trying to find whatever I can. And we've had a ton of conversations internally as a staff, front office, always searching for that greater measure of alignment that, you know, makes things function better for the players.
Can you share the team that you went and visited?
Yeah, I spent 5 days in London with the New Zealand All Blacks. I know nothing about rugby going over there.
They're legit, though. I know that.
Yeah, they're in the history of the world, they're the winningest team in any sport, the highest winning percentage in any sport. They've won the last two World Cups in rugby. They've been number one in the world since 2010. In our world of baseball and football and basketball, it doesn't really register, but when you're in London, England, and there's 82,000 drunk Englishmen going crazy at that game, it was a great sporting event. And got to spend time with their coaching staff and develop some strong relationships there and learn some things, man. Like,
sure.
Don't have this thing figured out. Don't pretend to. And took a lot of those things immediately back to guys on the team. I've talked to Austin Hedges a ton about it because we get to get face-to-face in San Diego a lot and spend some time together. And I think some of the things I learned, like, they're going to make me better. And that's all you're ever looking to do is get better.
I got to believe that as a manager of a Major League Baseball team, I'm not sure, but I know as a manager of a fantasy baseball team, I walk around about 5 hours every day thinking of my lineup. So, and we asked AJ Preller about this, and he said, yes, he looks at his chalkboard once an hour probably thinking about the lineup. For the Padres, for you, it's a situation that I think is very exciting in the sense that you can't, I'm assuming, can't totally picture exactly what your lineup's going to look like come April, let alone February, let alone this week. And that's good, and it's interesting. It makes it fun. There's so many different directions you guys can go.
You know, it's really fun to get a piece of paper out in the off season and dream a little bit about what your lineup's going to be on opening day, and also what you hope it is if you make a couple moves. And,
right.
That's fun. It's also not very profitable for me. There's a lot more real stuff to be focused on right now than some hypothetical 4 or 5 months down the road. And as we plan for spring training, as we build unity among the staff, as we talk to our players, that dominates the majority of my time. But I'm just like you, man. It is fun to sit down and, like, dream on some of these guys coming through the minor league system, to pencil out what the rotation looks like over the coming years, to see these guys start to emerge in the minor leagues, and then also to sprinkle in one or two free agent or trade targets. Those are that's fun conjecture.
Batting third, B. Harper, center field. Yeah, I get it.
Andy, you mentioned in the presser today that you're pretty excited about the things Fernando Tatis is doing in winter ball. Give us those out there a little bit of an update on what you've been hearing and seeing.
Yeah, I get the opportunity. We got some great people in the front office. Cut up Dominican Winter League video. It'd be very hard for me. I try to be a dad in the offseason.
Right.
It'd be really hard to watch, like, complete games of four different teams in winter ball. So they cut up the video, send us the highlights. And, you know, like, top of the list for me, like, pre-pitch engagement in the field, man. Like, he is locked in on the baseball field. And that's a change from where I felt like he was last year. You
mentioned that last year, right?
So that's like you give a guy a challenge and you watch him run with it. He's as electric on the base paths as just about anybody in the game not named Billy Hamilton. Like, it's crazy how much ground he eats up with his strides on the base paths, and how the first to third comes so easy, how he scores from second base, how he steals bases. He's going to take some chances. He's kind of that exciting player. There's every week there's one of those highlight reel plays that you go, wow, how'd he pull that off? And he's going to continue to grow through, like, just getting repetitions, making the routine plays look routine. But, man, he's got some ability. And him and Franchi Cordero is kind of the outfield athletic version of that, like, yeah. Highlight reel waiting to pop, where he can hit a ball 575 feet out of nowhere. And so we followed those guys and Francisco Mejia, and I think we're overall, like, pleased with what our guys are doing in winter ball right now.
God, these names just sound so cool.
Don't they?
I mean, they really do. Where are you patience-wise? Like, Tony's always telling me, Chris, be patient. It's all coming together. It's all coming together. Obviously, you'd love to be in the World Series in 2019. I mean, that's what you are in the sport for. Where do you think this franchise is in terms of along the line to getting to where it really wants to go, and how are you personally handling the patience factor of waiting around, you know, waiting for these guys to really be ready to go?
Patience is never been a strong suit of mine.
Me neither.
I'm wired to be highly competitive, to go out and win whatever's out in front of you, and you want to push like that. And you know, I understand from a fan base perspective how hard the waiting is, because it wasn't just like you started waiting 3 years ago.
Right, right.
We tore the thing down and started rebuilding it, and in that sense, like, yeah, we're moving just as fast as the Cubs did, just as fast as the Astros did, actually faster. Like, those teams lost 100-plus games multiple times, 110, 111 games.
It was 3 years in a row, I think.
They did, yeah. They were, like, in a level of struggle far beyond what we've gone through. And, you know, patience is painful sometimes, and you don't want to ask anybody that's waited, you know, since the last time the Padres had a playoff team to be patient any longer. So that doesn't ring – it rings hollow at some point in time. For me, I want to win. I want to win now. But I also understand what it means to bring organizational resources to bear in a window that lines up with your talent arriving at the major leagues. It makes sense. You know, the Garrett Richards signing is something I'm thrilled about. Doesn't do us any good in 2019. That's like getting a Christmas present and, like, leaving it on the tree and say, no, sweetie, next year you can unwrap that. We're just going to leave that right here.
I'm going to use that example with my wife this year and see if it works out.
Yeah, stick your Garrett Richards presents under the tree and then tell her you can open that box in 2019. Christmas. So, you know, I think we're thrilled about him and think he can pitch at the top of our rotation in 2020, but that's not 2019.
Right.
And, you know, it's a really smart move from an organization. It's a really, we've gotten applauded from a ton of great baseball people that see it and it makes sense. But to a fan, come on, man. You don't get to watch him pitch in 2019, and you know we struggled in the rotation in 2018. Yeah, so personally, it's hard. But I've got the responsibility to move it further, faster, and I feel that responsibility greatly. And when it doesn't move as fast as I'd like it to or fans would like it to, man, I feel that. I feel that very deeply, and I want it to move quickly, and I want guys to be really proud of the Padres in San Diego. There's nothing that drives me more than having fans, like, celebrate our team and having something to celebrate in the city, and we haven't done that yet. I feel that. I feel that responsibility very greatly.
One more question. We know you got to get out of here. You're a busy man today. The one position that really hasn't come up a lot is shortstop. Now, obviously, Fernando Tatis is a shortstop. He can play that position. Do we have any direction on that? Are we turning the reins over to him from opening day, or are we going to bring a guy in for 1 year?
Yeah, I think we're going to bring him into camp and let him compete. Also understanding he, like, played 2 months in Double-A and doesn't have a ton of time at the upper level of the minor leagues. The winter leagues are helping him right now, but he doesn't have a ton of time at the upper levels of the minor leagues. So there's probably still some development out there for him. We're not going to hasten his development, and we're not going to speed him to the big leagues just because we might have a hole there.
Gotcha.
We're still engaged in having conversations with Freddie Galvis and guys like that to see if they fit us, but that's a decision for, you know, for Freddie as well as for us. In free agency, it's like takes two to tango.
That's right.
In our shortstop's case, like, we know who's coming, and we know at some point in time in the year we have an expectation that he'll be here. And then that's probably going to be handed over to him regardless of who's playing shortstop. So we're going to have to sort through that in the coming weeks and months. But, you know, we have Greg Garcia in-house now. We shifted out kind of our two utility guys and Corey Spangenberg and Carlos Asuaje. They gave tons of effort to the Padres organization. Neither one of them did we ever see having the capacity to play shortstop. So we moved on from them for a greater measure of positional versatility in Greg Garcia, and also somebody who's traditionally gotten on base. So we do have, like, somebody who can play it at the major league level right now. But we haven't answered every one of our questions yet this offseason.
Last one for me then. Let's go behind the plate real quick. Francisco Mejia, what did he show you? What excited you about him? And I know that you were very pleased and the organization was pleased with how Austin Head just finished up. So almost you can do no wrong at the catcher position, it would seem to me, but other than to be able to find enough playing time for both guys.
Yeah, Austin, for me, took the biggest strides of anybody on the team last year. Couldn't be more pleased. We've always seen him as elite defender, and he was that again last year. But the bat really came on in the second half, and the confidence really came up in the second half. And if you split up his numbers in the season, he is literally one of the top three or four offensive performing catchers in the game in the second half, along with elite defense. So he was doing a lot of things right late in the baseball season. It was great to get him back that way. And then Mejia is just a bundle of potential right now. It's an 80 arm behind the plate. It's you don't see an arm like that anywhere in the game. Austin Hedges has one of the best arms in the game. Mejia's arm is on another level, and he's got some bat-to-ball skills that people envy, but he still has, behind the plate, a lot of work to do in order to be right there alongside Austin Hedges. He's not afraid of that work. He's engaged in that work. But in Cleveland, they basically took him off of that
That's
position,
right.
which stunted his development curve. So now he's still got to rep out. So as we go into the season, he's going to have to compete to, one, make the club and compete for playing time against a guy who's really doing everything to establish himself. But I don't think he's scared of that. I haven't seen any fear in him. And I think from the first day he started for us, the 97-mile-an-hour Luis Castillo pitch that he deposited into the stands,
That's
the
right.
next one he hit out the other way, you saw real quick why that potential is all there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Green, manager of the San Diego Padres. Andy, we certainly appreciate your time. We know you got a busy day. Safe travels home, man.
Yeah, looking forward to getting home to those girls. You all have fun here in Vegas. Put it all on black.
Black, he says. All right.
Not red.
You, Andy.
So I can win.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.